All right, I'd like to call to order our April 17th, 2024 meeting of the Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners. Can we, let's see, we'll start with a pledge. And Brian, would you lead us,
Put
please?
Your hand over your heart.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Rainey.
Present.
Hold on. Vice Chair Gardena.
Here.
Chair Blumenberg.
Here.
And I believe Commissioner Brennan should be on, but he's not back on yet.
Okay.
And then Commissioner Stevens will be absent today.
All right. Should we give Commissioner Brennan a second?
I think we can start, and I'll let you know
We
when he's
got
on.
we have a quorum, so
yeah.
we can start with. All right, so let's move on to tonight's agenda. Commissioners, did you get a chance to look at the agenda? What do we think?
I'll move the adoption of the agenda.
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented, and everything tonight is going to be, well, roll call.
Since Commissioner Brennan's not here at the moment, I think we can take this as a voice vote.
Just do a voice vote until he joins us.
Yes.
So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we've adopted tonight's agenda as presented. All right, so we'll move on to approval of the minutes from our April 3rd meeting. Commissioners, thoughts on those minutes?
I'll move the adoption of the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second to adopt the minutes. To approve the minutes from April 3rd, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes from April 3rd are approved.
Mr. Chair, I just got a message from Commissioner Brennan saying he's dropping off the public meeting as he has a train ride at 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Well, we appreciated Commissioner Brennan's participation in the closed session, and we'll proceed without him here. Okay. We'll move on to public communications. An opportunity for the public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. I don't see anybody in front of us here in person. Do we have anybody online?
Yes, I have Brian Bargell of Andrea's Seafood. Right.
Okay. Brian?
Brian, you're able to talk.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Honorable Commissioners and Port District staff. This is Brian Bargell from Andrea's Seafood. 2 weeks ago, I appeared and asked for your support regarding Assembly Bill 2220, which would have drastically affected our local fishermen and our supply of fresh local seafood. And I'm happy to report that we received a telephone call and email from Assembly Member Bennett's office informing us that he was withdrawing AB 220 from the floor of the state legislature. We're all interested in sustainable seafood production in the coastal waters off of Ventura and look forward to the fruits of the collaborative efforts between our local fishermen and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to determine the next steps. Secondly, we're aware of the posting for next week's Ventura City Council hearing regarding the Port District's parking project. We appreciate the consideration already given to local merchants and local Ventura residents who love to enjoy the beach and the Ventura Harbor Village, as we understand that the scope of the parking project is focusing on enforcements on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. We look forward to continuing to work closely with the Port District to accomplish the goals of changing the parking behavior of the beachgoers, as well as driving beachgoers into the village to spend money with the many fine merchants there, of course, including Andrea's. Please let us know how we can be supportive of your Port District's plan at the city level and at the hearing next week. Thank you.
Brian, thank you for those comments and appreciate your paying attention to the district, paying attention to the city council, and making us all more aware of that. Great job. Thank you. Any other comments tonight?
There are no other public speakers.
Okay, so we will close public communications. We will move on to our closed session report. Council?
Thank you, commissioners. The board met in closed session to discuss the item of anticipated litigation listed in the agenda. No action was taken that's reportable under the Brown Act.
All right. Thank you. Move on to board communications, an opportunity for the commissioners to talk about items that affect the district. Commissioners, anything to talk about tonight? Seeing none, we'll close the board communications. And we will move on to our staff and general manager reports. Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of course, you have the departmental reports from each of our departments, and staff is either here this evening in person or joining us online. So if you have any questions regarding those, again, a lot of great photos and information about various projects and programs and activities throughout the harbor. We did have some items upcoming. We've had to postpone events. We've had to cancel some events with the weather that always seems to fall on the weekends this year for some reason. So Jennifer, you're guaranteeing good weather this weekend because you've got a lot of things going. So I'll hit on some of them here. On Friday, the village is hosting the coveted Road to Stagecoach concert ticket giveaway with KHEY 100.7 FM from 4 to 6 p.m. on the village promenade. Visitors to the Harbor Village have a chance to win and join in line dance lessons with instructors and live KHEY DJ. This Saturday, Ventura Harbor Village Gallery and Gifts is hosting the Plain Air Paint Out. I think that was one of the things that was postponed from 1 to 4 p.m. along the village promenade, as over a dozen local artists paint harbor landscapes on easels, with a reception to follow in the courtyard near the gallery at 4 p.m. All are welcome to enjoy. Also on this Saturday, catch the swinging tunes of the big band Jumpin' Joes in the Harbor Village courtyard from noon to 3 p.m. And on Sunday, come enjoy live music with the Blue Moon Boys from noon to 3 p.m., a tribute to Elvis and the 60s. This weekend kicks off National Park Week, with the Channel Islands National Park hosting a beach cleanup day on Sunday, April 21st, from 9 a.m. to noon. Additional National Park Week events include Junior Ranger Day on Saturday, April 27th, from 1 to 4 p.m. for families to partake. Tim Hoff's photographs will be on display in the theater on Sunday, April 28th. And the Visitor Center will also have a unique poetry in the garden walk from 10 a.m. to 10:45 in the Native Plant Garden. This Friday, Portside is hosting Movie Night Under the Stars starting at 7:30 p.m. The village also celebrates Earth Day with a visitor booth on April 27th from 1 to 3 p.m. with opportunities to help keep our ocean clean, including prizes and more. One of our newer tenants, Students for Eco Education Agriculture, will have a booth. A tenant of ours, as I mentioned, will be selling seedlings and promoting awareness surrounding sustainable agriculture from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and live music in the village from noon to 3. Also on Saturday, April 27th from 8:30 to 1, Safe Harbors Ventura Isles hosting their annual Marine Mariner Swap Meet for a day of nautical treasure swapping and shopping, including canned goods, donations for Ventura County Food Share. City Clerk Office has posted the recruitment to for Commissioner Brennan's seat, whose term ends on June 30th. Applications are due by May 30th. Also wanted to mention, on Monday evening, Todd, Jessica, and I had the opportunity to attend an event hosted by the Chamber of Commerce, in which the city manager introduced several of his new key department heads and new assistant city manager. I think that was literally her first day on the job. That was on Monday evening at 5 p.m., and the chamber chose Portside to host the event, and had that in their room, a community room for the tenants. Beautiful facility, well attended by several city council members. I think we all got quite a bit of work done in the 2 hours we were there with our networking and talking to various department staff. So great event, really showcased Portside in the harbor. It was a beautiful weather, and a lot of people said it was the first time down, so it's good to get people down to Portside and enjoying what they have to offer there. So that concludes my report, and I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions, comments?
I had just a couple of things I want to check in on. There was a mention of the sand management issue and waiting for a Coastal Commission permit to move forward on that. I just want to make sure I understand exactly what the Coastal Commission permit is for. There's removing the sand and putting it back when it gets onto the street, totally within our control, cleanup. Okay, so maybe you should explain to me what exactly sand management involves.
Yeah, so actually, so I think Brian previously had mentioned at previous meetings that the Coastal Commission decided that the city issued coastal development permit from the late 80s, I think 1989, was no longer sufficient for the activities that we'd been using it for. And they wanted us to apply for a new coastal development permit specifically from them. They promised that we would have that by last fall, and they sat on our preliminary draft document until we finally just submitted an application just about a month ago now, because, well, maybe it was a tactic to lay, to manage workloads. But in any case, the application is basically as tiers of zones of the beach where different activities would trigger nothing. Notification that we're like nearing a dune, or then look, we need to disturb a dune, and there's going to be a built-in remediation clause. So we're going to push away some dune, there's some vegetation there, and we'll have to replant that vegetation somewhere else, maybe remove non-native species. So the idea is to have a completely prescriptive zone one, zone two, zone three, zone four, and this is how we would address anything we want to do in any of those zones. So beach volleyball court, do whatever you want. Pathway for the blue mat, do whatever you want. At the end of the year, submit a report. Touch a dune, do a lot more. They're still contemplating that permit. I expect feedback later this week, but there's no way we're going to get that in time. So Harbor Patrol and facilities said, we now have drifts right to the top of the brick wall. We have drifts entering the showers. Sand is now escaping the beach and blocking access for the public. We approached the Coastal Commission to get what's called an emergency coastal development permit. They said because there's no imminent threat to life or infrastructure, that was not an appropriate way to do this. So they have allowed us to apply for a waiver, which needs to be heard by the commission, which will be heard next month. We're told that that's going to happen. We're literally sending in all the paperwork today. And that will allow us to just do a few of the mitigation to man or limited mitigation to move the sand away from the walls. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So we cannot clean up sand that has escaped the beach.
Once it touches asphalt, they don't want it back on the beach. So we need to get it from the sidewalks and back onto the beach and that.
I guess we could use it to fill the holes in Spinnaker. That's another option.
So yeah, so I mean, the staff has been out there using hand tools and small stuff, and we're scaling up now to be prepared as soon as the Coastal Commission hears the waiver to get out there with small dozers and a dump truck and move the
Is
sand back on.
there anything the board can do to help accelerate or move that project forward with the Coastal Commission?
Oh, there would be nothing wrong with outreach to the commissioners to let them know, I would say in a very polite way, how the partnership with the staff in the region. There's a lot of things we're asking for, and a lot of things are taking a long time. It would be great if the commissioners took a vested interest in what's happening in their backyard and our projects.
We do have one commissioner that's assigned to this region, and I think sometimes we had a virtual meet and greet because it was during the COVID. It's really past time that we bring her back out, and hopefully in person, and we can talk more broadly about a variety of things as opposed to one specific thing that's pending on an application, 2 weeks later. And that's something where I think the chair, vice chair, participation in that, and just talking about the complexities of managing this beach and how much we're trying to do. I mean, some of these issues are things that we've clearly stated to Coastal Commission. One of your major goals is to provide access to and use of the beach. That's what we're trying to do. And with this, with the amount of sand coming over, that impedes pedestrian access and of course reduces their enjoyment of the beach area. So I think we'll get there, but I think the broader, the bigger picture, it would be an opportunity for us to have an updated meet and greet with our commissioner.
Another thing, just a note, when I went to the tenant appreciation meeting, the tenants at that time, it was right at the beginning of March, And they had said that February was, in their minds, a really bad month for them. And it looks as if that played out in the actual sales. But January was good enough to balance out year over year, it looks like.
Yeah, I think in the area of retail, it's still a tough go. I think, charters are obviously going to be impacted when they can't get out there. I mean, literally, it feels like every storm has hit on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, without fail for the last 3 months. So that certainly impacted them. I think you're going to probably continue, unfortunately, to see that trend from March because of more of that same activity. Restaurants, as you saw, were about even. Charters last year were, took a hit, and because of that, and then made up for it later in the year, I think, in terms of total sales. The area I think that's probably the most that is seemingly most susceptible to the impacts has been the retail sector.
Because it seems like that's again where loose cannon is an important piece, because people would certainly come to the harbor during a rainy day, participate in an indoor activity. So,
Correct.
and then I just looking at our vacancies, are we feeling good about movement on the vacancies in the leasing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, certainly the office sector has been the strongest. I think you see that there. Also, these numbers are always looking backwards a month. And I think we've had at least another lease go into effect. And there's one you're going to be discussing on tonight's agenda that was in a month-to-month tenancy. On the new offices where the former comedy club was, I think there are a total of six, and five of the six are leased out now. So one left there. I think I have one or two others that need to be leased. But compared to the broader market, for us, office is a strength. And if you look at that comparative to some of the surrounding community and region, office is somewhat of a weakness. So I think we continue to provide a place to do business that is an attraction for small business in particular, given the location. And given, frankly, the investment in the village, I think that speaks to that. And you've seen the photos. It's frankly first class office space. The retail, I think, again, some weakness there. Restaurant, we know we have the vacancy, but we're intentionally worked on planning design for that first. And plans have now been submitted to the city for a new facade element to the what had been the prior 805 Bar Grilled Cheese. Pretty excited about that. And you'll see some, I think we had some pictures in the prior month's report. But we are getting interest in that. And we'll start to take that interest more seriously now that we have a design that's going to start to make its way through the city. So,
Thank you.
yeah.
Good comments, good questions. Appreciate that. I got a couple of my own, just follow-up statements, really. The promenade wall repair is, Brian, as you mentioned, looks great. So that was good work done by the staff. Ice machine, we've been talking about the need for more ice machines. So the electrical work and the new ice machine coming, also great work. So I'm glad to see that coming to a finish. You were talking about your leasing data. And for me, having a benchmark to assess things is helpful. So I was glad to see this CoStar, I guess it's called, the data come back into our reports. So it kind of gives me that benchmark and really shows, yeah, we are really doing pretty well here. And then finally, congratulations to Harbor Patrol officers Brendan Donahue and Ryan Sutherland on their promotion to senior Harbor Patrol officers. So I know that's part of your strategic staffing plan to give people growth opportunities. John, you're building a great staff. Good work to all. All right. Thank you. So
Thank
we
you.
will close the staff and general manager report, and we'll move on to our standard agenda. Agenda item number one is adoption of ordinance number 60 for a new lease between the Port District and the Greek. Brian, over to
Yeah,
you.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I was referring to a month-to-month tenancy, and this is the one, of course, they've been with us for many decades. I'd like to ask Jessica Snipes to give the staff presentation tonight.
Sorry. Good evening, commissioners, fellow staff and council, and anyone else listening on the wire. The Greek has put in a lot of love and passion and into their restaurant and the harbor for 30 years. Currently, they are seeking a lease with us for a lease term of 5 years with a 1 5-year option to begin on May 1st. For this lease, the district and the tenant both have improvement responsibilities. The district will be replacing the flooring of the interior seating area solely at its cost, and the contract will be a prevailing wage contract. The tenant improvement responsibilities entail kitchen and ventilation upgrades. They will be renovating two exterior equipment rooms, and they'll be replacing the awning in two parts. The first part will be the valance by the end of this year, and then the rest of it will come prior to exercising their option. Since this lease equals 10 years total, the California Harbor and Navigation Code Section 6270 was triggered, so the lease requires an ordinance. In the last meeting on April 3rd, the board adopted resolution number 3495, authorizing and directing staff to publish a notice of proposed ordinance to adopt a new restaurant lease. This was published on April 7th. Today, staff is recommending to the board to adopt ordinance number 60, which will ultimately authorize the general manager to execute this restaurant lease. Thank you for your time, and please let me know if you have any questions.
All right, Jessica, thank you. So as you said, because this is an ordinance, we need to open a public hearing. So Jessica, coach me on this. Do I need to wrap my gavel, or what do we need to do to officially open? All right, well, we're out the gavel. We have now convened a public hearing for ordinance number 60. Do we have any public comments in the room? Any public comments online?
There are no public speakers.
All right, no public speakers. So we will close the public hearing. And then the recommendation is to waive the reading and direct the clerk to place ordinance number 60 in the minutes. So now that is a vote by the commissioners. Is that true?
Yeah, you can include that
in the motion.
In the motion, what I normally do is the language of the ordinance will be put in the minutes.
Okay. So let me just pause there and just see if there are any questions from the board. Commissioners, any questions on this one? Okay. So then do I have a motion?
I move we waive the reading of the direct the clerk to place ordinance 60 in the record of this meeting, that we adopt ordinance number 60, authorizing the execution of a new restaurant lease agreement between Ventura Port District, doing business as Ventura Harbor Village, and the Greek at the Harbor Restaurant, doing business as the Greek Mediterranean Steak and Seafood, with a commencement date of May 1st, 2024.
Second.
So I have a very thorough motion and a second to waive the reading and adopt ordinance, approve ordinance number 60. We'll do a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 3-0.
Jessica, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That concludes standard agenda item number one. We'll move on to agenda item number two. Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask Joe Gonzalez to come up for this presentation.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. Staff is recommending to the board to acceptance of the lowest bid from J&H Engineering and the amount of $160,000. And additionally, staff is also recommending the approval for staff to procure two washdown units in the amount of $31,843.94. And for this project, being the Ventura Harbor Village Boat Wash Station Replacement Project. The California State Park Division of Borders and Waterways has awarded the Ventura Port District a grant of up to $890,000 for two projects, one of them being this ADA compliance upgrades to the washdown station at the public boat wash launch ramp. This project was also approved in the fiscal year 23-24 on the capital improvement budget, and the bid is within the budget. So that concludes my report. If you guys have any questions.
Let me hold off the commissioners for a second and ask for any public comments.
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers here, so we'll close public comments. Commissioners, questions? I've got one question. So we are going to essentially provide the equipment to the contractor. One of the issues that introduces is if we don't do our job, we could delay them. We obviously want to avoid that situation. So what is the expectation of when we're going to provide that equipment to them, and what's your confidence that we're not going to delay the contractor?
Actually, we're purchasing the two Boardwatch machines, and that's included on the bid for the purchase is the installation as well. What was happening, a lot of contractors were getting a misunderstanding or conflict about the unit that was required. So staff just took an initiative to just purchase it ourselves and subcontract that with the actual manufacturer. So they're going to come down and work with the contractor and basically install the machine for us. And the timeline of the machine is within the term of the contract.
So when do we expect to receive those the machinery?
According to the local contractor, super, I mean, according to the manufacturer representative, he said probably if we order it, it's probably within 4 weeks or so.
4 weeks, and when does the contractor that's going to hook everything up, when do they need them by?
They need them probably within, let's see, they're going to pour the concrete probably within a month and a half or so.
Okay, so we got a couple of week margin.
Correct.
So just something to watch very closely.
Oh,
We
yeah.
don't want to hold them up.
It's absolutely.
All right. So with that statement, I have no more questions. Commissioners, can I get a motion, please?
I'll move the item.
Second.
Okay, so I got a motion and a second to accept the bid for the public wash station replacement project. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. You got your
All right.
approval.
Thank
Go
you.
do good. Do some good work. All right. We will move on to item number three, a quarterly update on our 5-year objectives.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're going to, Todd and I will tag team this one and kind of do what we've done in the past, which is hit some highlights from each of the 5-year objectives. But same as I mentioned earlier, you've got the staff here. If there's any specific questions you want to talk about in any greater detail, we're happy to do that. We're going to start off with D for dredging, and I think that's Todd's area. So I've got a couple of things for him to touch on.
Thank you, Brian. So, commissioners, we were joking about how the dredge got towed away this afternoon. It did complete all of the inner harbor dredging, which was the goal. But referring to the goals number two, Army Corps District Division HQ meetings and communication, not only did we meet with staff or the district staff prior to, but we've been holding and hosting the weekly construction meetings here in this room every Thursday at 10:30. That's allowed us to stay completely in the loop. Harbor Patrol has always been present. Usually I've been present. Our consultant, Rincon, who's overseeing the project, has been involved, as well as allowed us to really make sure that all of the stakeholders were aware of what we wanted to do with the Inner Harbor dredging. So that worked out really well. And then, as you know, the general manager sent a letter to the city requesting their participation after the presentation to City Council. The city did agree to participate, and my understanding is of the 10,000 cubic yards off the city authorized us to dredge on their behalf, 8,500, give or take, has been removed, and we'll now finalize the final bill to the city shortly. The fourth goal under number one in action is the advocating for full funding of the VPD entrance channel, and as reported in the last couple of dredging reports, and during Congressman Carbajal's visit, the president's budget did include, in fact, more money than we thought had even been suggested, $8.796 million, which would be a record amount of money appropriated for the project. That works out really well because the dredge left without completely clearing the sand trap, so there's additional money to cover any shortfall that might occur because they didn't get all the material out. So we're in an excellent position for next year, and the letters of support from Congressman Carbajal, Senator Butler, and Senator Padilla, those letters went from our representative Julie Minerva of Carping Clay, asking them to endorse what the president's budget already included. It may be a bit perfunctory, but that's the next step in it, is to make sure that Congress and Senate support the president's budget number. That's my report on budgeting.
Thank you, Jessica. Could you go to our public and civic engagement? And I wanted to touch on the it's strategy number two, but the comment under milestone of city organized meetings through Q4 2023, and then the achievement, city council endorsed draft land use designation map that includes harbor zoning updates as requested by general manager. So yeah, the city council is, there's a lot of pieces to the general plan update, but one of them is the land use plan, and there were a couple of things that we asked the city to consider in its general planning advisory committee. One was to look at parcel 17 with Ventura West Marina as being a mixed use site. Currently it's under harbor commercial. So to move it to the same designation as Portside, which is harbor harbor mixed use. And that is in there as proposed. The other thing we asked the city to consider is just adding hotel to the allowable uses under harbor commercial throughout, because almost everything else throughout the harbor is harbor commercial. And to provide that opportunity so that it's just there doesn't mean there's a pending project, but to broaden that opportunity around the harbor could provide future opportunities that we may not even know exist today. So those were two of the really most significant changes. Also, John Harbor Masters met with County Office of Emergency Services and the Potawatomi to explore options for an amendment to the county. And I'm assuming, John, that's hazard mitigation plan? Yeah. That was on there as well. And that's something where I think we haven't been included in the plan previously, and John's been working to change that so that the Port District is clearly a part of the plan. Next page.
Brian, if I could jump in on the engagement ones before we go through the entire list. So the city updated the draft land use designations, but this is, as we've heard from City Council, this is a long-term process. What is their next steps, and how long do we expect this to take?
Yeah, I think broadly speaking, they have a lot of different general plan elements that they're looking at, and they have a continual, I think it's called Plan Ventura. Mm-hmm. They have a survey out now, by the way, that show these land use plans. So I would encourage folks that are supportive of our efforts to support that survey. And I certainly will do one on behalf of staff for the district. But there's a lot of elements, what are called elements to a general plan. And the other part of this is the fact that the harbor obviously is in the coastal zone. And so you've got this overlay called a local coastal program in addition to just the general plan. So if you were, let's say, on the east side of Ventura, you wouldn't have this additional overlay that we have here. It affects a lot of downtown as well because of the proximity of downtown to the ocean. So it's not just the harbor. So these are subject to, you know, not only the city process, but for us, it's also subject to the Coastal Commission process, because any change to the local coastal program would require their involvement as well. And so that's some of the complexities and the time spans involved with this. So, you know, it's possible this is, you know, not till sometime in late 2025 until, you know, some of these things are even submitted to the Coastal Commission for consideration. I, you know, that's really on the city schedule, and they'll determine that, but that's some of the early thinking I've heard.
Thank you.
Yeah. And changing those does not approve projects, right? Any individual project has to go through its own entitlement process, but this sets the framework for land use within the properties.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Go to the next page, which is still public and civic engagement. And just quickly, I know we've talked about this, but again, maybe just to prime this a little bit more, we will be having a public workshop again this year. Again, the date that you were polled for, and I think that worked for everybody, was Saturday, September 14th. Obviously, a lot more details to follow, but we've got that date held opportunity to, of course, look at, as we do every quarter here, look at the progress of the five-year objectives, but maybe, you know, a bigger opportunity to look at the long-term goals. And that's something I know we want to continue to look at as well. Okay, next. Okay, so on to commercial fishing and sustainable aquaculture. Under strategy one, we have the item there, engagement with sustainable aquaculture industry interests in Ventura Harbor. And as you'll recall, we secured the opportunity for a presentation to the board on March 20th from the company Ocean Rainforest. And as a result of that presentation, the board took the action to support the submission of the application. And certainly hear more about the project as it goes through its environmental review process. But that was a great opportunity to hear about the type of industries that are considering locating next to the harbor and making use of the harbor in the future. And then Todd, if you could touch on the item here with regards to maintaining harbor infrastructure. And it actually you talked about a little bit earlier, which was the ice production plant.
Yeah, I was gonna say Mike stole our thunder by talking about it earlier. It is covered in the departmental report for the marina, but Del Mar has purchased and delivered the ice machine with 2 tons production and 4 tons of storage. Staff has put in the electrical infrastructure, panels, and et cetera, to install it. And I think last week was running the water lines along the bottom of the pier to connect to the existing water lines that Del Mar operates so that their utilities supply the ice machine. And that should be ready to go in a few more weeks.
Great. Thank you, Todd. And then also sort of beyond the presentation that Ocean Rainforest had here, you might have heard that night earlier that afternoon, they also presented to the Ventura Chamber of Commerce Board and also participated. I chair the Chamber's Economic Development Committee, and in January they presented their proposed project to that committee as well. So working to to outreach to the community, provide additional information about what their plans were as well. Also, we are beginning to track the next step in NOAA's process, which would be the identification of these aquaculture opportunity areas, or AOAs, as you might recall, they're referred to. And we may have some opportunities coming up. I don't have the exact timing yet, but on the draft environmental impact report, or DEIR, as it's called, as it relates to, or in their case, Federal Waters DEIS, probably draft environmental impact statement, rather, might be coming out fairly soon. So we'll be paying attention to that and making the board aware of that as it comes forward for public comment and input. And something wasn't on the list here, but something that the board just approved recently, and I wanted Todd to mention on mm-hmm. mention it as it relates to this specific area.
Yeah, so recall that the fishing boat storage is a parcel that we are the lessor from the owner, the landowner, and the district, the board approved us exercising an option for an additional 5 years at the facility, which is at 1415 Angler Court. And we are in the process of negotiating the next lease with the current operator for another 5 years, and don't anticipate any hiccups in bringing that lease before the board in the next few weeks, maybe next month.
A question on number three, the last one, knowledge, experience, and technology transfer with aquaculture industry and stakeholders. Will we have the ability to see how many hits on the resource library that will be on here? And the reason why I bring that up is we really want this to develop. We really want this to be a resource that those industries or retailers or whoever is interested. If I just think it would be good to kind of know if is it are people looking at it? I just think that there's not enough information about it, and perhaps people don't know, and it would be good to have that, get that kind of information.
Happy to take a look at that. Maybe there's some opportunities to increase its visibility and and provide opportunity for that.
Yes.
So for the aquaculture resource library, it's mainly Ventura Shellfish Enterprise. I can talk to our website designer and see if he can look up how many clicks have been on that page.
Okay, on to,
if I can,
yeah,
hold you up a little.
Sure.
Number two, talking about this potential transition of commercial fishermen from Wainimi, very interested in how that progresses and would appreciate updates as they're appropriate, you know, as we're ready to do that. And then just a reminder that Congressman Carvajal has been a great supporter of us. He's also asked for that tour of a fishing boat someday. So looking for that opportunity to get him aboard a squid boat and see that whole process.
Yeah, definitely. And we will be, for us, next steps with the board relative to Port of Wainimi would be to bring a grant agreement back for consideration between our two districts. And we already have that agreement in draft form, working with the Lagerlof's team and the Port of Wainimi's legal team. And so we hope to be bringing that back fairly shortly. I don't have the exact date that we'll be ready to do that yet, but it'll be pretty soon. And then we'll be able to give you a full update on that and be asking for the board's consideration of that agreement. Okay, on to our collaboration with master tenants. The first one here under strategy one, and then work with master tenants to help facilitate sustainable capital improvement projects. Certainly, as you recall, very recently, board took action to allow director to exercise the option on their 50-year lease. But I think I mentioned to you as well that there was a significant entitlement step that they accomplished as well, which was getting through the approval process for the City Design Review Committee on March 20th. Again, you approved the agreements for them, along with the separate agreements for Parcel 17 and our master tenant TBBW in concert with Aldersgate. These were major milestones in these two master tenancies, one with a lease in place and entitlements ongoing that should allow director to move forward. I think Leonora said hopeful in the next 12 to 14 months, I think is what she said, for a brand new marina, landside improvements. It's going to be obviously a great improvement to this side of the harbor that's been in such need for a long period of time. And of course, at the very front end are the opportunities for now TBBW to begin planning for a new marina. There's 380 some odd slips, I think, out there today. It's going to be completely redone. Huge improvement, major investment into the harbor. And then on the land side, working on that mixed use opportunity that some of those land use discussions we had earlier are very important. So I think we've certainly had the opportunity to hit some major marks here in terms of working with our master tenants. Master planning for Parcel 5, we do want to come back on that before the end of the fiscal year. RRM Design Group has taken the feedback back from the board with that presentation, and also working with staff to sort of put that all back together and bring some updates back, and then sort of look for what do we think we can accomplish in FY24-25 in terms of next steps on the entitlements for that project. So stay tuned on that.
Quick question on one of those line items. You have under Portside, you got the water taxi. Is that still in discussion? Is that still an idea that's...
It's still an idea. Portside themselves, Mike Sonderman did do some cost analysis with the private companies, or at least one in particular. It was very costly, and he's not able to execute a contract on that at this time, given the cost. But I think it's something that we still want to continue to look at and evaluate. Could be part of the broader parking management plan as well. But I think in terms of one private entity taking that on or even sharing the cost, he found the ability for a new company to mobilize here, set that up, meet all of the Coast Guard requirements, for what probably is weekends only at this point just didn't make financial sense. So, you know, when you get to that kind of point, you have to start to make a decision of, you know, it wasn't about making a profit, but how expensive it was it going to be. And so right now they're a hold on that.
I understand. Thank you.
Sure. I think that is it. But on...
Ventura Water Pure, is that on?
That's where I was
What's
going.
That?
Ventura Water Pure is the project on schedule.
No.
Somewhat? No.
Okay. I'm going to let Todd answer that one. Maybe he's got a better read.
Yeah. So the expectation would be the pipe would be around the corner and onto Schooner by now in terms of the trenching in the street. I hear that they will be around the corner in onto Harbor Boulevard in the summer, which is not ideal, but that seems to be how it's playing out. And then there's a device called the diffuser, and then also the weighted portion of the pipe, which is supposed to go in the offshore beyond where the drilled pipe is already installed. And the water conditions over the winter, as we all know, were so terrible that they couldn't get out there. They needed X number of days in a row, good weather. They never had them. So the pipe still continues to sit in Parcel 8, the dirt lot near the National Park Service. And I understand that that is June-ish that they plan to try again to pull that out. But yeah, so all those elements are falling behind. The one good thing is that they have completed their work in Parcel 19A and returned that to us. So that is now complete. But the contractors doing the trenching is going to use a component of that as well.
19A is our boat storage.
19A is the area that's on the corner of Harbor and Schooner. Our dry storage is still occupied and will be until they get around the corner.
So all the easements had to be extended.
We got our check for, I think, $39,000 yesterday. So they did not need to technically be extended. They needed to use the authorized extension within them and
the option
payment. 19A did not, but the others did.
So is there any impact on foot traffic, rate, revenue?
It's not pleasant right now. I mean, you can really see, particularly now they're about to transition in front of the mobile home park. This is going to be the most painful part to our tenants. Is really going to be in the next, call it 3 weeks, as they go in front of that entrance. And you do see people impacted and trying to figure out where to cross the street and from the mobile home park.
Well, sometimes it changes within the day as to where to drive. I think the city made clear they were only going to provide mitigation to businesses or properties that required a formal easement. I think they made that quite clear. But I know that wasn't your question, but I think that leads to the next question. I think, you know, I agree with Todd. I think when it's been back here, there's been sort of one level of impact, more for us on the timeshare as it gets out there. I think potentially more impact for, in terms of business activity, Portside, probably Water's Edge, some of those other areas that could be more impacted from that. One of the things that I'm looking at currently in this event Monday night, just talking to Portside, is we are still working on the implementation of a new permanent gateway signage on Schooner and Harbor to bring, sort of announce that you've arrived at the harbor, not just at Spinnaker. Given the timing that'll take to get through permits design and construction, right now we're looking at putting the equivalent of a temporary sign, two of them, on that corner. I don't think that the current city signage says much that tells people to come back there for business. It's more about the project. There's a sign up there. And so we're looking at installing temporary signage that says what we want it to say, which is going to be Ventura Harbor North, and food and boating and shops. So hopefully that maybe will help, but that's kind of where we're at. Okay, next on to National Park, and we had one item here that I wanted to touch on, which was a lot of this was the working with NPS and ferry operator on cross-promotional activities to increase attractions of visitors to the harbor, December through April, cross-promoting the winter whale watching with Island Packers, including dedicated winter whale watch contests in March, press release distribution in December, and exposure throughout the season, cross-promoted beach cleanup days with the Channel Islands National Park in both January and March. So I'd say that's probably one of our most significant updates in this area during this time frame. And next, Jessica, and parking management. And Todd, maybe on the second one with regards to Navigator and Spinnaker, I think people are mostly up to date on that, but maybe just touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do anticipate the reconstruction of Navigator and a small portion of Anchors Way mid to late 2024. It's supposed to be early 2024 and keep sliding, but it is on the books and it is supposed to happen. There remains no schedule for Spinnaker. Brian sent a letter to the city regarding the five-year CIP to repave Spinnaker. There is a new public works director. Brian and I did see him on Monday. He did say to me that maybe public works need to look at the economic impact of Spinnaker in their calculus. I said, well, that has not been done before, but I love the sound of that. And he said, yeah, I really think we need to think about it in a different light. So that was encouraging. But I think, you know, continuing to be political and voicing our need and that of all of our tenants making those same communications to the city is going to be vital in moving it, because even if it gets on the five-year CIP, will it really show up in 25, 26? That seems, you know, challenging.
Thank you. And on the second, so in terms of process, this one is under item three regarding pursuing and implementing parking management plan. The sequencing has changed a bit based on the city's staff. So we are, as you heard earlier during public comment, we have now been scheduled for what's called a director hearing. It's actually not city council. It'll be in the city council chambers, but it's not city council. It'll be the community development director. Interestingly enough, the directors are up that same night for their director hearing. So we'll be there for two reasons. One, to support them, and secondly, to be there for parking management. So we have some public information we're going to be putting out, since it's been a while since we've had a chance to bring things back for a board discussion, but we had submitted the application consistent with what the city asked us to do for a coastal development permit. The city, in order to include Spinnaker Drive, had indicated to us they needed to make a change to the city municipal code, and then also enter into an agreement with the Port District for management of paid parking. We got pretty far with the agreement. There's been a lot of discussion about parking in downtown, and they've asked us to proceed with our hearing and then determine when they'd like to go back to city council with respect to Spinnaker. So from our perspective, we're moving forward with everything that's in our plan in terms of the beach lots and Harbor Village and free parking at the Dolphin Lot, which is our borrowed 152 stalls over at Ventura Isle Marina. We also borrow, I think it's 39 stalls from Marina West, and that also continues to be used for Island Packers guests and staff and so on. So the hearing is, again, it's coastal development permit. It's but one more step in the process. We intend to work closely with all of our tenants over the coming months. There'd be future procurement decisions that would need to come back to the port to the board. So there's a lot of steps here. What we're going to be letting folks know is that this isn't going to happen until 2025, but these are the steps that are necessary to get there. So we are going to put some information out by the end of the week to update people on where things stand. Again, they haven't heard a lot lately, but it's consistent with what we've been working on for the last couple of years. So let's move on from that to revenue growth. And Todd, maybe hit on number two regarding grant funding.
Yeah, so, sorry. As had been discussed regarding the Cal STA grant, which is the Port of Wainimi grant opportunity, that's one of ones we're moving forward with. But we also, as you'll recall, received $200,000 from the National Fish and Wildlife Fund, which we'll be investing in the beach restrooms and as well as the restroom at the launch ramp. The beach restrooms are going to require independently a coastal development permit waiver. So that's more administrative to process. Jensen is working on that for us. That is for Harbor Cove Beach, but because it falls entirely within the city, Surfers Knoll is entirely separate and a coastal development permit with the city. Jensen's working on that for us as well. The intent and the expectation from Fish and Wildlife is that we complete the construction project by December 31st. I'm cautiously optimistic we'll make those dates. There's certainly opportunity to get an extension if we need to, but we're really excited about that. And then also staff is contemplating, well, really egging the city on to pursue a coastal development or a coastal conservancy grant, or not shown here, an ATIIP grant to put active transportation on Spinnaker Drive, which could be a momentum for the city to find funding earlier than where it sits today. So again, talking with the Public Works Director on Monday, he seemed interested but concerned about staff work related to those kinds of grants, but that won't stop us from trying to push that. And then lastly,
would there be a way for the city to get funding for their staff to work on this with that grant? And would they entertain something like that?
I don't know about the application component. I think the concern is that when the funds come from Caltrans, which any federal DOT goes through Caltrans, the lift to get that funding managed and monitored is extensive. The nice part about the Coastal Conservancy grant is it's very easy lift. They basically just show us the invoices when you're done. They probably would not fund an entire project, but that could get a lot of funding behind the project. You know, and then also improve the access trails, meaning the sidewalks in some cases. So there's an opportunity to really like co-mingle these two grant opportunities to really get a great project out of it. So, but they have to have the appetite because, you know, spending the money is challenging when it's federal in nature. Answer your question? And then lastly, there's a port infrastructure development grant opportunity. It comes up every year. This year, the amount of money that was available was less than it has in the past and may get plussed up by Congress, but it's a little too late for that. But there will be, again, an opportunity. And President Biden in December added seafood-related infrastructure as an eligible expense for these projects in PIDP. So this is a great opportunity to start gearing up to replace our commercial fish pier. Another really nice thing about this grant is that money that is spent 3 years before the award is eligible for reimbursement after award. That is very unusual. And so this could be a really great opportunity to start doing a little bit of legwork, early design, and do some benefit cost analysis and see if that sticks. And based on the legislation as today, up to $12 million would be eligible as a small project and less competitive. That's what we're chasing.
Okay, and on to just a little bit more on revenue here under number four, implementation of online payments for tenants. Jessica Snipes has been working a lot on this, working with tenants, educating them. I think she's been tracking in the departmental reports the number of participants in this, but I know this one says 51 leases, again, looking backwards to the last quarter. So that's been great to see that continue to increase. And we know we've talked about some of the challenges with the system, but there's also been some wins with the system too in terms of migrating folks to automated payments. We literally, probably a couple of years ago, used to have every single tenant coming in the door or, you know, check in hand or mail coming through, and a lot of that certainly has been automated.
A couple of meetings ago, we talked about bringing one of the MRI experts out here for a couple of weeks. Has that been done? Any feedback from that?
Yeah, I'll ask Todd to maybe jump in on that one.
Well, based on some of the feedback from the commissioners, we actually made sure that to have sort of a warm-up call in advance of, and we came up with our list of 15 things that we were particularly dissatisfied with. And I think we were really able to elevate the level of concern and the seriousness of where we were at. And in the call, they said there's 12 of these things we can do without even coming to the site. So we're like, okay, let's put your money where your mouth is. So we are working on a schedule of how to tackle some of those. They did say that there's no one person in the organization who could tackle them all. So having one person come out to do that wouldn't be feasible, because, you know, it's through acquisitions, there's different modules of software that no one person is the expert at. So we are working towards a hybrid solution where we're going to spend probably 40 of those 80 hours solving problems in advance. And then when we hit the real roadblocks, we think that all of the roadblocks that are, we'll call it insurmountable remotely, are all in one module, and we'll have someone come out with a very focused task, lower cost because they're not going to be, you know, room and board. And we've outlined areas of additional work that if they're twiddling their thumbs waiting for something to go wrong, we have a few things that we would say, set this up. It's a module that we have. It would be really great value to the accounting department. We haven't learned how to use this yet, so get it set up. So we have, for, I won't say that we've like full on pedal to the metal, but we're being a bit cautious to make sure that we're going to get milk every dollar's worth out of our dollars.
Identified in Q2 of 2023, and some things we've been doing since then.
Yeah, we aren't stopping. The path of travel ramps between that are identified here, they have been designed, but they're not going to be constructed at this point, partly because some of those will impact the operations of the Boatyard Pub, and the Boatyard Pub wants to do their patio renovations, but they don't have their city permits in hand. So we're going to, we know of the blending of projects and how they're going to work, or they work, but we don't want two different times of interruption to the business by basically asking them to take their patio down, you know, and turn it out of operation while we repave it. And then meanwhile, in the fall, they're going to close down and do kitchen modifications. So that's really the one of the big ones that we have yet to do. But again, refer to the beach restrooms, the showers, and the access ramps aren't ADA compliant today. Those improvements are also going to be done in the fall of the year. So we're working towards all of those things at this time. I think really that, oh, and then there will be one other improvement of the parking lot at 1570, between 1575 and 1567, which is the Cup Courtyard between Hats Unlimited and Casa de Reales. There's a change in the code that requires us to modify that entrance and how you get from the parking lot to the village. Very inconsequential in terms of the footprint, but it's important. And I believe at that point, we will completely have tackled all of the ADA issues throughout all of the harbor that are our responsibility to address.
Just
yeah,
a
thank you.
Quick question
yeah,
about
please,
ADA. The sand management, how much is that interfering with people with mobility issues having access to the beach?
It would be pretty consequential. If there's calls for beach, you know, the use of the beach wheelchairs, that would have gone to John, and I'm not following how much requests we've had for that. But when the sand does end up on the sidewalks and you have ADA parking and they have to use those same sidewalks to get there, you're significantly increasing the, you know, resistance of the wheels. I haven't heard any formal complaints, but I can't imagine anyone trying to use it in these conditions would be particularly pleased.
And I know that's a priority of the Coastal Commission.
Okay, on to, actually I'd like to touch on landscaping. One of the things that you've heard about is the landscape architect that we hired in developing a village-wide plant palette for our use. And again, that plant palette focuses on drought-tolerant succulents and native plants with specific recommendations for planter types and locations. And although it's happening now, I'll give a little shout out to Sergio and Wayne, who have begun implementing this with actually new tree installation that I think is getting underway or has gotten underway this week. This is in the areas of the parking lot where the some of the former trash enclosures were removed. And then from there, we improved those, let's call them fingers, with putting in the brick pavers to give it a nice clean look. And then some what's called DG was put down kind of as a placeholder. So with this plant pallet now, Sergio secured 10 or 12, 15 new trees that are going to come in to the village. Obviously, this is not just landscaping, but obviously sustainability in terms of the types of plant materials, the types of irrigation systems that are being used, and the replacement of these planters with what used to be grass mostly in these cases. It didn't look good. This is a much cleaner look and obviously more sustainable, and great to see that coming in. So take a look, and I'm sure Sergio and Wayne will have photos in the next month's report, but wanted to make note of that now. So, and I think that's what we got for you tonight.
I got a question.
Sure.
Wireless fidelity. It says that implementation appears extremely challenging and costly. Are we looking at, is it for the entire Harbor Village, or are there smaller pieces? And I guess my question is it impossible right now based on the technology? Is that what they're saying?
The biggest limitation is power. So the Wi-Fi repeaters need to be spaced no more than 200 feet apart. In the area of the buildings, doable. Started getting into the parking lots, start getting out to the beaches. The 200-foot spacing becomes a problem because all of our light fixtures throughout the parking lots are on photocells. So they only turn on. So there's no power at all to the light post unless the photocell is turned on. So it would mean redoing all of the electrical throughout all of the parking lots to make Wi-Fi comprehensive throughout the village, the parking lots, Spinnaker Drive, and the beaches. And of course, the number one driver behind this is to make sure that if, you know, managed parking is instituted and requires Wi-Fi for customers to be able to use their app to pay for parking, that there's actually a service. So that's really where we're struggling with, is the power.
And is solar cells and batteries an impossible?
We're still talking, but that we may have to switch vendors we're communicating with, because they seem to be very insistent on hard lines to be able to make that work. So, you know, we had talked about installing 5G repeaters that would use the cell tower signals. None of the provider, the, you know, AT&T and Verizon, they don't really want to work on that with us. So we continue to try different solutions to try and get something that's going to provide a very stable data connection no matter where you are in the harbor. And we haven't given up, but we keep, you know, pivoting as to who's going to be the solution provider that's going to make this work for us.
Okay, Mr. Chair, that is our report for tonight.
All right, let me open it up for any public comments. I don't see anybody here in person. Do we have anybody online?
There are no public speakers. No
public speakers. So, commissioners, we've had some good discussion. Any other comments, any other questions tonight? All right. Well, Brian, this was a receive and file. And so
Correct.
We thank you for the update tonight. Look forward to our September 14th public workshop, in which we kind of give this a thorough refresh.
Sure.
Going to be a lot of work. So good meeting tonight. Appreciate that. We'll be back on May 1st. Right. So, all right. We will adjourn for the night and see you on May 1st.